The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. How are you doing this morning? It's another Sunday. We're in the middle of February. You know, this morning, I was laying in bed before I started heading over here, and I heard something that I hadn't heard in a while. It was the tweet of a bird. Spring is coming, folks. The cold is going away. Spring is on its way. No, it's not warm enough for me to be sitting out in the back porch just yet. But I'm so looking forward to the snow being gone, the cold air being gone, and for me to be able to enjoy our backyard, enjoy the back porch, and for spring and summer to head its way. I know there are many of you that enjoy the snowy weather and the skiing conditions and all of that. Not me. I'm a pool guy. I like the warm weather, and but we each have our own thing. That's the beauty of New England. Four seasons, four different distinct times in our year, and we get to enjoy them all. Happened to see a great movie this week. I know I'm usually here talking about financial advice in a language you can understand, but last weekend I was in Providence, Rhode Island, and Laura and I just decided to spend the night in Providence and decided to catch a movie. Had seen this movie called The Gentlemen, and I'd never heard of it before, but it was pretty much the only one that fit into our time slot of when we could see a movie, and we saw it. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It's a pretty interesting movie. It's compelling, and it's a nice ride. You know, you can just kind of sit there and enjoy it. It's a kind of figure out a whodunit kind of thing, and I enjoyed that quite a bit. Anyways, we are here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand, and that's what we do here each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9, right here on North Shore 104.9. I've been delighted to be part of the station for almost 8 years, and what we do is we just give you pieces of advice, news that you can use in your life. Yes, we'll talk about investments, we'll talk about financial planning strategies. We'll talk about estate planning and tax planning and all different kinds of things. But sometimes it just comes down to just smart money advice. So let's start with one. Let's start with something that I love to talk about and haven't talked about in a while. It's one of those things that I think anybody could take advantage of because it's right in front of you every time you go food shopping. When you walk into Stop and Shop or any of the other major supermarkets, there's this big green box in the front of the store, and it's called the Coinstar machine. And many people will walk by the Coinstar machine because they say, well, yes, I know I could dump my coins in there, but who wants to pay 10% so I can get dollar bills or a credit that I can apply over at Stop and Shop? Well, that's kind of how it works for some. But did you know that there's more to it on the Coinstar box than just an opportunity to drop off your change and for them to eat 10% of what you get back? So let's say you have $100 in coins that you've collected over the course of months in your seat cushions, in couch cushions, under your bed, in the ashtray of your car. There's coins everywhere, right? You've built up all this other stuff, about $100 worth, and you bring it over to the Coinstar machine, and all of a sudden, they take 10% and you walk away with $90. Well, that's not a great deal. However, some people are willing to pay for that because they enjoy convenience. However, I got a better idea. All you got to do is walk up to the Coinstar machine and swipe right or swipe left. No, this isn't Tinder, but you walk up to the Coinstar machine and you have the opportunity to get gift cards instead of cash for your change. And when you get gift cards for your change, you know what you get? Full value. That's right. If you dropped coins into the Coinstar machine and say, I'd like an Amazon gift card or a Starbucks gift card or a Cabela's gift card or a Home Depot gift card or whatever companies might be up there, they will give you a coupon code up that's worth the full value of the money that you've deposited into the Coinstar machine. Yeah, that's right. The full value. So think about all of the coins that you are collecting around the house. They just sit there and you say, what do I want this for? You just dump change everywhere. It's scattered all over the place because nobody likes carrying change anymore, do they? In fact, some people hate it so much that they think it's actually worth dropping it into those tip jars that exist at any Dunkin' Donuts or any place where you buy something over the counter. Now, have you really got better service because of the counter service? I mean, is it really worth paying for counter service? You're already getting it. You've ordered your food. You go, you pick up your stuff and you leave. Do you have to leave them a tip? No, but it's ridiculous carrying around all that change. No one likes to jingle all day long. Well, unless it's Christmas, of course, but they generally don't jingle. You don't like all that jingling stuff in your pockets all the time. So we drop it in the jars. Well, or we throw it in the ashtray in our car. We leave it on a shelf on our nightstand. We drop it in the cushions of our couch, not on purpose, but it sits there. You gather all that stuff in, bring a shoebox, bring a big mason jar full of coins, bring it to the Coinstar machine, and you can get real value, money you can use, money that you can use to buy stuff that you want. I'm telling you, the Amazon gift card or the, well, they used to have iTunes. I'm not even sure. Does Apple even have iTunes anymore? I'm not sure. But there's the Amazon gift card. There's all different types of gift cards, Starbucks, etc., that you can find on the Coinstar machine, full value. And get this. Here's even more financial advice in a language you can understand. If you register on Coinstar, your name, your email address, you will get notifications throughout the course of the year when Coinstar is running a promotion. Like, for instance, once or twice a year, I'll get a notification that says for every $40 in change you deposit at the Coinstar machine, if you choose the an Amazon gift card, for every $40, we'll give you a $50 gift card. Yeah. I'm telling you, this is a great deal that many people often overlook because they think, well, wait a second. All the Coinstar machine is going to do is take 10% of my money and only pay me out 90%. If what you want is cash, that is true. That's what's going to happen. But the gift cards, these companies that do the gift cards, they will give you full value. Now, why is that? Think about that. Well, those companies want you to buy those gift cards, to obtain those gift cards. And so they're willing to pay Coinstar the money. And what happens on top of that? Here's the truth about gift cards. I don't know if you've seen the recent reports, but only about 60% of gift cards get redeemed anyways. So when you see reports, even around Christmas time, all these restaurants offering up these deals on promotions of gift cards, or you're handed gift cards, people are thrilled to sell you a gift card because they know that only 60% of those gift cards are actually going to get redeemed. They're making money by selling you a gift card. Think about how many gift cards you probably have around your house right now. Sometimes you have a gift card that you use some of it. You don't even know what's left on the gift card, or you just sit there and accumulate them. You lose them. You drop them between, in your car. You've just lost them. They're in your glove compartment. They're anywhere and everywhere. They're in an old purse. That is real money that you can use. So I want you to take advantage of the gift cards that you have. Take advantage of the Coinstar machine. That, my friends, is what's called financial advice in a language you can understand. And that's what we talk about here on this radio show. Yes, that's a real basic one, something that everybody can appreciate. But at Friedman Financial, the firm that I'm affiliated with, the firm that I've been affiliated with for almost 28 years, we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice since 1968. My father started the firm back then. I've only been doing it, 28 years or so, which is still a long time. My business partner, who you hear on the radio periodically, she has been with me for 20 years, Marion Gilman. And what we do is we meet with individuals and families that live all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley and the Southern New Hampshire area. We schedule appointments in our office in Peabody. We schedule them during regular business hours, of course. And we look forward to meeting with you. We want to hear your story. What is it that you're passionate about? What is it that you're always thinking about? What is making you tick? What are the goals that you have that allow you to be able to do what you want to do in retirement? Because that's one of the big goals. Retirement is the big goal. Eventually, the paycheck's going to stop. And maybe you'll collect Social Security. Maybe you'll collect a pension. But what will you do after that? How will you spend your money in retirement? How will you use it? Will you have enough? Do you know how much you'll need to spend? But wait, there's more, because the kids will oftentimes be looking for money from mom and dad. Or perhaps you have an aging parent and they're going to need some guidance from you as well, because maybe they don't have the resources, or maybe they're not using their money as smart as they should. And I will also tell you this. When your retirement comes along, your retirement is not going to be like your parents' retirement, and definitely not like your grandparents' retirement. That's the case for a number of reasons. Number one is you're going to be living probably far longer than generations before you. That's a fact. Did you know that if you're 65 years old right now, there's a 50% chance that you'll live well into your 90s? A 50% chance. And that's a nationwide report. I oftentimes talk about this with people, because a national report doesn't mean here in Massachusetts. National means every single region across this country. That means those with wealth, those at the poverty level, those who are Democrats and those who are Republicans, those who are tall, those who are short, those who are fat, those who are thin, those with diabetes and those that don't have it. It's everybody. But I also know this. The region where we live here on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the southern New Hampshire area, if you drew a ring around the demographics of who we were, the socioeconomic points in time, it is far different from several other similar sized rings that you could draw all around this country. This group is far from average. In fact, we're probably above average. So when you hear about the statistic that at 65 years old, there's a 50% chance you'll live till 90, I would bet, and it's just totally an observation here, but I would bet if you're 65 years old and living here in New England, there's probably an 80% chance you'll live till 90. Did your grandparents live that long? Did your great-grandparents live that long? Perhaps some of them did. But the likelihood of you living that long is more and more likely every day. So how will you use your money? Where will those dollars come from? How will you spend them? Do you have to worry about health care? Do you have to worry about where you'll live? Do you have to worry about taxes? Lots of things to worry about. Will you live in the same house? Where will you transport yourself? How will you transport yourself when you age a bit? Will you still be driving at 90 years old? And if you won't, who will be driving you? We talk about all sorts of things on Dollars and Cents, and we do that each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on North Shore 104.9. I'm basically your Sherpa. I take you on this journey, and we bring up topics and stories and ideas that I see every single day in my office, as I've been doing this for 28 years. These are real life stories. The clients that we serve are not the super wealthy, though they're not poor either. They're those that I say have positive cash flow, meaning when they're working, they bring in more than what they spend. They're able to put money aside for their future. And when it comes time for retirement, they just wonder, have I saved enough? Do I have enough resources? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. We help you figure that out. But I've learned more often than not, and believe this may be hard for you to just kind of wrap your head around. More often than not, many of the retired clients that we work with need to be encouraged to spend more money, not less money, because it's not that they're going to run out of money. Instead, they're going to leave an enormous net worth to their children, and in turn, may sacrifice their own life in retirement. We want to find what that comfortable balance is. We want to understand your goals. We want to talk with you to make sure you're maximizing your years all throughout your life, not just during your accumulation years, your development years, but those years in retirement are absolutely critical. All right, we've got to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk to you about some of the issues that retirees are facing today. You know, retirement can have a huge impact on your marriage. And there's a story that comes out from a group called the Gransnetters, G-R-A-N-S, G-R-A-N-S, Netters, Grands Netters. It's really interesting. I think you might be really intrigued what they have to say. We'll talk about that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. I hope you're all having a wonderful Sunday. It is the last day of school vacation. The kids are heading back home. If you've been tired of seeing them just laze around the house and do nothing around the house, well, you can finally kick them out tomorrow morning and send them back on the school bus and they can laze around the school, I guess. And, you know, it amazes me how, you know, we just have the two boys at home now. Noah and Corey are there. They're juniors and seniors, and they're, what, 16 and 18 years old? And yeah, it was a vacation for them, for sure. You know, there'd be cups next to the couch. You'd find food up in their room. You know, they don't pick up after themselves, and it just drives me absolutely insane. It's like every morning I wake up, it's like, oh, you didn't put that away. You didn't put that away. Why'd you have to leave the dishes in the sink? So if you're thinking to yourself, am I the only one whose kids have that problem or do that? Well, yeah, it's you're not alone. We talk about, you know, this is what we talk about here on Dollars and Cents. This is real life stuff. But, you know, one of the things that I find fascinating is when you get older, there are very similar issues to what you might challenge yourself with you and your children when you're retired. There's a story that comes out from a company called Grandsnet, GRANSNET.com, Grandsnet. And what this is, it's a website that you can go to if you're thinking about retiring or if you're in retirement and you want to just kind of vent and learn about some of the challenges that retirees have with one another, have with life, have with what's life like in retirement. Yeah, there's all, of course, the financial questions and all that kind of stuff. But most people will tell me that they worry more about about the non-financial issues in retirement than what they worry about when it comes to money. Because hopefully, as they've approached retirement, they've begun to plan a little bit. They've thought about what they need to do. They've at least began to have a relationship with a financial advisor, with a certified financial planner, so that they can have those comfortable conversations about knowing what the scope is from where they can spend, what they can buy with the resources that they have, so that they can stretch out their money for as long as they can. But then there's the real life of actually living in the space. And so what I thought I'd do in this segment is share what some of the members of Grandsnet.com are writing in to Grandsnet to talk about how retirement is affecting their marriage. Because one of the big questions that I find in retirement, that I actually ask of many retirees before they retire, is I'll say, all right, let's put the money issue aside. Let's just sit with the two of you, and I'm going to ask you an important question. I want you to tell me what the two of you enjoy doing together besides eating out and watching TV. And you see this blank stare come across 90% of those people, because they might tell you what they enjoy doing individually, but what they enjoy doing together as a couple besides eating out and watching TV, and Netflix counts as TV, folks. I'm sorry, you know, Netflix movies, you know, you get all that. What do they enjoy doing together? And sometimes they'll say, well, we like to travel together. I said, okay, when you travel, what is it that you enjoy doing besides going out to eat together? And what you learn is that one wants to do more touring while the other one would prefer to just go to the spa.
or one would prefer to go deep sea fishing while the other would like to go golfing or getting their nails done or going shopping. But what are the things that you enjoy doing together? And that is one of the curious things about retirement. It's like courting or dating all over again, because the kids aren't there to be your interruption. We used to be able to use the kids as our fallback to say, well, yeah, I might want to do that with you, but, you know, we got the kids show coming up, or so-and-so is going to need help with this, or I just want to be sure that we're available and around for that. Well, push all that stuff out. When you're retired, it's the two of you. And maybe that's what you hope for is grandchildren, so that you can have that distraction again, right? But what will you enjoy doing together? When you drive around in the car, do you listen to the same kind of music? Do you talk in the car, or does one go to sleep? Do you share in the driving responsibilities? When you need to go to the doctor, does somebody go with you, or do you go by yourself? Or would you prefer to have a friend go with you rather than your spouse? Lots of different questions, things to think about. How are you going to enjoy retirement? So I thought I would share some of the common issues. And I will tell you, these issues are common to almost everybody that we run into. They're a little bit different. You know, you can change the words or a little bit of the tonation, but it's essentially the same. So here's one that it says GransNetter. So these are members of this website called GransNet, GransNet. GransNetter say, he says, I only need to ask and he'll come, but sometimes I wish I didn't have to ask. I work part-time and my husband recently retired. I still do the bulk of the housework as he does not seem to notice the mess. Sure, he'll hoover and dust if I ask him to. He will help when I ask him, which is usually with tasks that require more physical strength than I have. I think it's partly that he just doesn't notice what needs doing, and partly that he just doesn't care enough if he does notice. My husband was brought up to cook and do chores. We've been together for 50 years now, and he has always done his share of cooking, but like most men, he doesn't see mess and dirt, which means he never cleans unless he's told to. But he also never complains if I don't clean. My husband did teach himself to cook, well, to follow recipes to the letter. Unfortunately, he didn't teach himself to clean up afterwards. Is there a book about how to clear up after cooking a meal? My husband will say, do you want me to do for you, for me? And so this is one of these issues that, first of all, I'm just the opposite. See, when Laura and I sit around, I notice the mess everywhere, and Laura does not notice it. I notice when stuff is left in the sink. I notice when there's stuff on the floor that wasn't picked up. So let's not pick on the men or just pick on the women here, that the women do all the cleaning, the men do all the sitting around or do all the hard labor stuff. But it's different. Each of us has something that we notice about each other, and when we're spending more time with one another, we just begin to worry about that stuff. And we begin to think differently about what are the chores that we need to do. So what I realized I read the answer to the question. I didn't really set up the question on this last one. So let me do another one here. Let me set this up with this one is called How to Give Each Other Space in Retirement. Ask any retiree that they have a successful marriage, and they will say that space is the key to having a successful marriage. Your space, his space. It's the most important thing to sort out in your relationship when this phase of your life begins. One piece of advice cropping up again and again is to start planning and organizing how you will each spend your time when you first retire, and to talk through retirement expectations. How much time will you spend on hobbies? How much time will you spend together? What sort of activities do you want to take up, and are there any that you could share as a couple? This could be anything from traveling to volunteering at the same charity. If you feel that your need for space is greater than your husband's, it's important that you communicate ideas for how this could be solved. Don't forget to make time to notice, to give him your affection daily, and if you leave the house unexpectedly, leave a note. Let him know that you've left, or let her know that you've left. Especially in the beginning, it's a good idea to remember that your spouse may need your support and encouragement to get going with this new phase of their life. If they're struggling with motivation, help them get out of the house. Encourage hobbies and projects, such as work needed in the garden. Volunteer his or your combined time at a voluntary organization or event and bond over it. And finally, make sure you take all the time you need for yourself. You know, that's one of the critical things that we find is that couples need to find stuff that they're going to enjoy doing together. And it may be stuff that you've never thought of. Look, I'll use my own perfect example, because I've asked myself this question. When I retire, what is it that Laura and I will enjoy doing together besides eating out and watching TV? Because we do lots of that. We eat out a lot. We watch a lot of TV. One of the things that I've always enjoyed doing is for years, I always told Laura that I wanted to run a breakfast lunch place. Now, it's not going to be a place where we're going to make a lot of money, but I just enjoyed the whole idea of running a breakfast lunch place. People would come, families would come, all that stuff. And it never really came to fruition until, as you've heard me tell many times, I run a booth at the Topsfield Fair. And that is like my breakfast lunch spot, even though we run from 8 in the morning till 11 at night for 11 days. And when I introduced this idea to Laura, she was like, I'm not getting my hands dirty. You know, I get my nails done every other week. No, I'm not doing this. And what Laura and I found is that we really had a tremendous amount of enjoyment in connecting our volunteers with participating in this booth. Now, Laura does everything from the cooking to the cleaning to everything now, stuff that she would have never done before. But we found that the two of us collectively make a better team than all alone. She lets me handle all of the ordering of the food, all of the managing of the key personnel outside of the fair, building the relationships, marketing the booth. Laura does all of the instructive work of training our volunteers, helping with the food service and the stuff that goes out the window. And collectively, we work on the menus and how to come up with better recipes and better ideas for the booth. But it's something that the two of us do together. And the beauty of it, it's something that we do together for about 2 or 3 months out of the year. This is not a 12-month project. This is not something that happens all the time. And we find when there's little segments of time to do things together, it works best. So I'll ask you, as you're thinking about retirement, what are you thinking about? What might you and your spouse enjoy doing together? Maybe it's something that neither of you have really ever explored, but as you sat and you wished about it. I wonder what would happen if the two of you sat down with a glass of wine, maybe after the second glass of wine, and then said, let's explore. What would you love to do that you've never done before? And you may be surprised with the honesty that opens up, and you find that there may be some connectivity points. And maybe it's the time, because when you retire, folks, you're spending a lot of time together. Did you know that divorce in America is down for those under the age of 50? In fact, it's down almost 25%. But it is more than tripled for those that are over the age of 65. They're calling it the gray divorce. Gray divorce means all of a sudden, I realized that, yeah, we were really great roommates. We might have had a great relationship before the kids came along. We were good parents to our kids. But do we still find that emotional connection for the two of us to be together so that we can spend the next 30 years of our life together? That gray divorce is something that's coming. And if that's not a direction you want to go in, you need to have that conversation. That's all part of the financial planning conversations. It's all part of the financial advice in a language you can understand that we deliver here on North Shore 104.9. We've got to take a quick break. When we get back, we've got more to talk about, and we'll see what direction we head in. You just never know here on the radio station. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
North Shore Music Theater is turning 65 and celebrating with another extraordinary season of musicals. The 2020 subscription season kicks off in June with Thoroughly Modern Millie. The high-octane, Tony-winning musical filled with flappers, tappers, and a roaring good time. Then get ready to be swept up in our magical family production of Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. It's possible. This will be followed by Buddy, the Buddy Holly story. And the hysterical sci-fi camp classic, Little Shop of Horrors. The musical season will end with the Tony Award-winning feel-good musical, Kinky Boots. Become a five-show subscriber today and save up to 45%. The 2020 season will also feature the special springtime return of Mamma Mia. For discount subscription packages and ticket information, visit us online at nsmt.org.
That's money.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9, where we provide financial advice in a language you can understand each and every Sunday morning to listeners all throughout the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the Southern New Hampshire area, and any of those that are listening to us through the podcast, which you can access through NorthShore1049.com. You can find it just under the drop-down menu that says podcasts, and you can listen to all of our shows. I mean, there's I don't know if we keep that many years worth of shows on there. There's a bunch of them. I mean, you'll be entertained enough. Actually, if you want to go to the whole history, you can actually go to podcasts on iTunes, and I think all of them are there. But there's tons. If you're really that interested, I always find it fascinating when I look up the podcast and I see where are people listening. People listening from all around the world. I don't know how you find me. I don't know what the keywords are that you're using. I don't know what it is that interests you, but we'll have people listening. I have a guy from Las Vegas that listens in. I've never met the guy before, but he called my office once and he said, hey, has Mark gone off the radio? The podcasts haven't been updated for a couple weeks. Yeah, my social media person was on vacation for a couple weeks, and we just said, all right, we'll upload them when they come available. But really, this guy's actually waiting for the podcast to pop up. I didn't realize how anxious people were for waiting to hear what I had to say, which is, I still don't get that. My kids certainly have no interest in what I have to say, and I'm not so sure Laura has any interest in what I have to say. So I appreciate you for keeping the radio station on this morning, driving around with me from 8 to 9 a.m. each and every Sunday morning. We've been doing this for almost 8 years here at the station. I had another year at a previous station beforehand, and it's been a lot of fun. We do end up getting to meet so many of our listeners. It always amazes me how many folks listen to the show. You'll call the radio, you'll call my office, you'll ask a question. Maybe you've heard something on the radio that you didn't understand. Maybe now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs. You'll call the office for a free initial consultation. Many of you have referred your friends, your parents, your siblings to our office, and it really heartens me when they have such nice things to say about the radio show. Yes, of course, there are always those that have other opinions about the radio show. And frankly, I welcome those too. We learn from this. I mean, we do this show, you know, off the cuff. Every single week, we try to make it as relevant as possible for our listeners. And so if you have a thought to share, if you want to let me know what you think of the show, you want to ask a question, you want to offer up a comment, you want to direct me to say, hey, Mark, I wish you would talk about this topic or that topic. Here's how you can get in touch with us. Go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Go to that website. At the bottom of any page on my website, you can sign up for our free weekly planning pointers. It lands in your inbox every Friday at 10:30 in the morning. There's more than 7,500 subscribers now to this newsletter. People get it all around the world. But yes, you'll get the newsletter. But the other thing that you'll get is a comment box, an opportunity for you to write your story, write your questions, share whatever you want. And what people are always amazed about, I think it's interesting that people write back and they say, I can't believe you responded so quickly. When you drop me an email, I get it as an email in my box pretty much, you know, seconds thereafter you drop it on there. And I promise you, within 24 hours, you'll hear back from me. Sometimes you'll hear back from me in 5 minutes if I'm just kind of sitting around doing nothing. But I do want to respond to you. I want you to know that we're listening to you. If you have a pressing issue, a question that you need, a referral to somebody, a thought that's going on, or just a conversation maybe that you're having between you and your spouse, your children, your parents, and you want to pose it to somebody, drop me a question. It's okay. And if you want to not use the website, if you don't want to do it through the website so that you're not signed up for the newsletter, drop me an email personally. Here is my personal email address. Well, it's the business email address, but it goes right to me. It's Mark, M-A-R-C, not K, M-A-R-C, at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. So look, if now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, now's a great time to get started. You're probably thinking, I'm getting my 1099s in the mail. I'm starting to get my taxes done. Oh my goodness, do I owe money? Am I getting a big refund? Should I change the withholdings on my pay stubs? Should I be reallocating my 401k plan? I'm approaching retirement. If maybe you are you not? Should you change the allocations there? Are you looking at a new job? Perhaps you have old 401ks scattered all over the place, or old 403bs or 457 plans. You're wondering, when should you take Social Security? When do I sign up for Medicare? All of those questions are things that people ask of us all of the time.
Look, we manage a lot of money at Friedman Financial, close to $500 million. It's a lot of money for almost 450 households. But all of those couples, all of those households, I should say, for whose resources and investments we manage, we also provide comprehensive financial planning advice. Many of these folks need connections to an estate planning attorney, to an accountant, to a Medicare specialist. And in fact, just last week, we had Scott Maybor from Senior Benefits Boston here as a guest in studio. And I know many of you reached out to Scott to learn about how you go about making the smartest decisions about selecting your Medicare options. Folks, when you turn 65, these are important decisions to make. You want to make sure you're smart about them. And Scott was a great resource here. If you want to listen to that conversation that we had from last week, like I said, go to NorthShore1049.com, hit the drop-down menu where it says podcasts. I think you'll find his show there. And if not, you'll certainly find it on the Apple podcast under Dollars and Cents. So look for that as well. I'm trying to think about where I was going with my conversation. I was just kind of like spinning my wheels here, trying to figure it all out. But, you know, it's when we think about what the market's doing right now, everybody always asks me, Mark, market's sitting near an all-time high. What should I be doing? I had someone come into my office a couple days ago this week. And she said to me, I'm coming in because my friends are telling me that they heard on the news that a recession is coming. And I don't know whether I should cash out, whether I should do something different. And I wanted to get your opinion. Now, the husband happens to also be here in my office. And he says to me, Mark, my guess is you're going to tell her, do nothing. That you just hang tight. We're going to go through ups and downs. But you're well positioned. You have the income you need in retirement. Everything's going well. And I said, yeah, that's pretty close to what I'm going to tell her. Because when you're in retirement, and this person is in retirement, I asked her, look, do you have the income that you need to support your life? And their income is coming from Social Security, a small pension, and they take distributions from their investment accounts. And I said, you need to understand that when we're drawing money from your investment accounts, your portfolio is positioned to live through ups and downs in the market. Is a recession coming? That was your initial question. Is a recession coming? Someday. It's going to come. Will it be next month, 6 months, 6 years? I don't know. All I will tell you, though, is that the economists that we talk with and the meetings that Marion and I go to would suggest to us that a recession is not something in the foreseeable future. We got to get through a lot of stuff first. And one of this is the election, is this political posturing that's going to go on. I think it's really fascinating to see how Michael Bloomberg is going to position himself or be positioned in the Democratic primary as we start moving forward in the next few weeks. That's going to be really interesting because if he gains some traction, I think all of a sudden this election becomes interesting. If Michael Bloomberg does not and really falls to Bernie Sanders, who appears to be in the lead right now, but as you well know, after just a Iowa and New Hampshire primary, anything could happen. Joe Biden could come from nowhere. Pete Buttigieg should show up. Amy Klobuchar could show up. You just don't know what's going to happen. But I think Michael Bloomberg is the wild card here right now. If he steps up and he does well and he's polling well, that might be a really interesting situation as we approach election season. But we will see. What do I think about Bernie Sanders taking the Democratic nominee? If he is, he is. I think it'll be real interesting to see how they market themselves, whether the Democratic Party rallies around Bernie Sanders' positions and whether they want to say, do we want to rally around his positions or do we just want to defeat Trump? What is our objective here? And I think it'll be a matter of where can they get the voters. If Bernie Sanders gets the nod, there is going to be an enormous push on every college campus all around this country to get people to show up at the voting booths. I mean, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, I would love to see a greater amount of our population showing up in the voters' booths. But we will see. It's going to be very, very interesting. But does the political posturing right now suggest that there's a recession coming? No, not at all. Not at all. How about the coronavirus? Is the coronavirus having an impact on what the recession could be? No, it did create a bit of a slowdown in the market for a couple weeks because especially over in China, a lot of manufacturing plants were shut down. And if you're plans for the year involve 24/7 operations of manufacturing cars or widgets or whatever it is, and your operations are closed for a couple weeks, well, you're going to have a very difficult time hitting your inventory numbers, hitting your export numbers, all of that. So yeah, that's going to have a little bit of impact all around the country. But that's short-lived. I mean, I think we're starting to see a return to work again. People say to me, people then start talking about certain stocks that are performing well or performing poorly. You know me, I don't really comment on what the direction is that I think stocks are going in, or especially individual stocks. Look, Tesla has had a huge run-up. Is it sustainable? Is it artificial? I don't know. I do know it's an interesting concept, but there's a lot of things that could happen in between. How do you invest your money in a market like this? Well, here's how you do it. First of all, if you're invested and you have a proper allocation, and the way to understand a proper allocation is to make sure you run it through a financial advisor, run it through a certified financial planner, or at worst, run it through one of these online asset allocation software systems to make sure that you have some money in stocks, some money in bonds, some money large cap, small cap, mid cap, growth, value, short-term bonds, mid-term bonds, high-quality bonds, low-quality bonds, international, all over the place. Do I think you should be owning what are called alternative stocks or hard assets in some cases, like real estate or gold or silver or some of these cryptocurrencies that are out there? You know, I find that that's a lot of speculative stuff. I don't find that it has long-term value for portfolios. I think they might have a short-term opportunity for you if you play it right. But I think that is far too speculative, and I don't think that's necessary for investors. You have to be thinking to yourself, what are you going to do when the markets go up or down? And so this woman who I talked about earlier who said to me, Mark, is a recession coming? Because should we be cashing out our portfolio and moving it to the bank or moving it to somewhere else? I thought to myself, here's the reality. If you wanted to readjust your portfolio in the 1980s and the 1990s, when money market rates were paying upwards of 12 and 15%, and then maybe in the 90s around the 5% range, you could actually move money into bonds and saying, okay, I'm getting some kind of a return. But in reality, what kind of return are you getting at the bank right now? You know that it's next to nothing. Some places, some of these online banks, you can get almost a point and a half, but it's not that significant. Beyond that, what can you get in bonds right now? Bonds aren't producing all that great of a return, maybe a little bit more, 2, 3, 4%, but there's some volatility that goes along with that. If interest rates start to spike up, the value of your bonds could go down. So is it safer to get out of the stock market and put something into bonds or cash? Well, that's really an it depends answer. And I hate using it depends, but it depends is the real answer when it comes to your financial situation. You can't rely on what your neighbor's doing, what your parents are doing, what your brother and sister are doing, what your coworker is doing. You have to understand your big picture. And I tell this to people all day long. In order to get the most honest, authentic advice about your financial situation, you have to ask yourself this very simple question. Do I know where everything is and what everything is worth? And could I put it down on a single piece of paper that shows me what I own, less what I owe, who owns it, what's in retirement accounts, and what is not in retirement accounts? If you can't see that in front of you, and you don't know how much money is coming into your house and how much money is going out of your house, how can you make informed decisions about the investment to pick? I think that's a little short-sighted. You need to be bigger picture. And if you want someone to place your interest first, if you want someone to act as a fiduciary like we do at Friedman Financial, it will always start with building that net worth statement. Yeah, it takes a little bit of homework and a little bit of effort. All you got to do is bring in the stuff. We'll build the net worth statement for you. We'll show you where you stand so that you can begin to make the most informed decisions about your financial life. And at the end of the day, that's what you want. You're going to live 30 years in retirement, and the paycheck's going to stop coming. How are you going to replace that paycheck? What we do here on Dollars and Cents is we try to give you ideas on how to do that. If you'd like to meet with us personally, we can help you with that as well. But we've got to take a quick break. When we get back, we got more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Just got paid. Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial with important information concerning your retirement. In a rare showing of bipartisanship, Congress signed the SECURE Act into law.
It revamps the rules around required minimum distributions from retirement accounts, and it changes the way non-spouse beneficiaries can inherit your retirement funds. If you've named a trust as your IRA's beneficiary, or if you're approaching retirement and planning to take a required minimum distribution, you may need to rethink your strategy. At Friedman Financial, we understand the new rules, and we're here to provide you with financial advice in a language you can understand. Give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. And schedule your free initial consultation.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located across from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant on 41 Cross Street. Hope you're having a nice Sunday morning. It is the last Sunday before the kids go back to school. So if you're ready to get them out of the house, it's coming, folks. It's coming. Hope you had a nice February vacation. Hope you got to do some stuff with the kids. You know, everyone spends their holiday time differently. Some of us, you know, we still work during the week, but the kids are at home. Or maybe you took a vacation. Maybe you went skiing. Maybe you just hung around the house and played some games with the kids. All I know is that I'm sitting around waiting for the snow to melt and for the buds to appear on the trees, for the crocuses to pop up, and for spring to come, because I am not a fan of the winter. And, you know, everyone says, well, Mark, if you're not a fan, why don't you leave? Well, I can say I'm not a fan, but I mean, I'm still part of my culture. It's, you know, it's like all of us. A lot of us say we hate the winter, but we don't leave. You know why we don't leave? Because it's a pain in the neck to pack up and move. And chances, the other reason is we've got a lot of ties that are here. My kids are in school. And honestly, I don't know that I'd want to be in Florida full time, but there are many people here that say, you know, when I'm all done, I'm going to pack up the house and I'm moving to Florida. Well, let's talk about that for a little bit. Moving to Florida. Are you ready to just move to Florida, buy a house and settle in? Because some people say, well, I'm going to buy a place down there because in Florida, real estate goes up all the time. Folks, that's not true. Not true at all. If you've been down to Florida lately, there may be some building that's going on, but there's a lot of for sale signs and a lot of vacant places to live as well. And you have to ask yourself during the summer, do you want to stay down there? The summer's really, really, really hot. Now, I'm just talking about not that dry heat that they have out in Arizona, but it's the sweaty, wet, sticky hot that you walk out your door and you are just dripping. And trying to cool down your car, forget it. It takes forever to do that. That's why there's so many white cars in Florida. If you ever drove around, you notice there is always so many white cars because white cars are cooler than darker cars. Whiter interior, lighter color interior. It keeps it cooler. It's true. You look around there, that's what they have. Now, you also have people that can't see over the steering wheel or need blocks on their gas pedal because they can't touch the pedals. Driving in Florida is dangerous, folks. You have to be as much a defensive driver as you are an offensive driver because you got to look out for people coming from everywhere. It's really interesting. But here's the thought about moving to Florida. People would say, should I buy or should I rent? Or should I, you know, just go down there for a couple months? What should I do? I tell people, if you're thinking about moving to Florida, if that's even a possibility for you, or even if you're thinking about saying, I want to spend 4 or 5 months down there. Maybe I want to spend my winter down in Florida. Do you buy or do you rent? To me, it always starts with renting. Because first thing you have to do is you need to figure out which region in Florida you're interested in. And there is, I mean, there are plenty of regions in Florida. You know, you can go to the West Coast, the East Coast. You've heard that conversation. You could go to the central part of America, like Orlando, or what's really central and what's become very popular, and you've heard both pluses and minuses on this, is heading up to the Villages. And the Villages is an amazing, amazing community. It is like a giant fraternity house for seniors, or maybe a giant college campus for seniors, because there's so much going on and so much activity. There's nightlife, there's day life, there's extracurricular activities of all types that go on at the Villages.
but it's quite the place. If you've never been up there and you've heard maybe good and or bad about what happens at the villages, I'd encourage you to take a visit, because that environment is unlike any place I've ever seen before. We have several clients who have headed down to the villages. Sometimes they rent, sometimes they buy a place down there. And one of the things that I learned from the villages, we had a couple that was, they've actually been down there almost 10 years now. And they were worried about the cost of living up here in Massachusetts. You know, trying to keep up with their friends, going out for dinner, all this kind of stuff. And they decided they were going to move to Florida. First of all, they went because there was no Massachusetts state tax. There's no, they're, well, they're not in Massachusetts, you're in Florida. So, but Florida doesn't have a state tax. But what they told me after being there for 2 years, not only did they find people who shared interests and were willing to explore other interests that they had never considered before, what they found was that many nights, dinners were what just basically potluck dinners. They would go from house to house to house to house. Someone would make an appetizer, then you'd move on to the next house with an entree, next house with a dessert, or maybe someone would bring it in. They were saving so much money because they weren't going out, yet they were having this social experience of going out. And after a while, they didn't think of it as, oh my goodness, I'm saving money. It's, oh my goodness, I really enjoy hanging out with these people, and I don't have to spend $70 for a bottle of wine anymore. There are more and more of those communities popping up all over Florida. If that's something you enjoy, take a look at it. So, and those communities exist on the East Coast, the West Coast, central part of Florida, up towards the Panhandle, all over the place. But the question then becomes, do I buy or do I rent? I think buying is something that you have to think about very carefully. Because when you buy your place, even though you might stay down there from, let's say, October to April, let's say you even spend 6 months down there, it's those summer months when you're not there that can create the most danger and damage to your property. Think about this. If you're not there, you need to run the air conditioning all summer long. Because how'd you like to show up in October and see mold and mildew all through your house? That's not something you want. You got to be very careful about that. All the rains, all the upkeep, the lawn maintenance. Because look, when it is wet and moist and hot, those plants and the shrubberies and the greenery, that grows pretty rapidly. And you certainly don't want that climbing up on the walls of your house. You want somebody to take care of all of that maintenance. So you got electric bills to consider. You got landscaping bills to consider. And you just got basic wear and tear. And when you think about all that money that you'd be laying out, you ask yourself, is the value of my house going up? So I was down in Florida last week. I was visiting my aunt, and it was interesting. I went to visit her this year. I visit her every year down there. And she is in the Naples area, lives in a nice housing development. And as I was driving around, I couldn't believe how many for sale signs I saw. And I said to her when I drove in, I said, a lot of these for sale signs look like the same for sale signs I saw when I was down here last year. And she says, yeah, it's true. He says, houses don't move as quickly as you think they're going to move, especially with the hurricanes that come through Florida, the roofs that have to be replaced, the ongoing wear and tear, the tearing to lanais. If you've seen what an outdoor lanai is in Florida, that can be an issue as well. And we need to, she says, but what the truth is that many people come down to Florida with the expectation that this is where they're going to hang out. And then all of a sudden they realize, oh my goodness, I miss the grandkids. Or I'm getting a little sick, and I'd like to be treated in Massachusetts rather than in Florida. And sometimes they're not returning to Florida so quickly. And they leave their house in a hurry. And the house just sits. And there's a lot of new developments going up in Florida. And some of those houses that you bought 5 or 10 years ago aren't so pretty and aren't as popular from a price point standpoint as they used to be. And you have to ask yourself, am I really getting the value that I was hoping to get on the appreciation of my property? My advice to anybody going down to Florida or someone that wants to explore it is to rent. Rent 3 or 4 different times in 3 or 4 different locations. Are these the people you want to hang out by the pool with? Are these the people you want to go out for dinner with or invite over to your home? Do you want golf? Do you want tennis? Do you want pickleball, the new sport that's very popular these days? What is it that you're looking for? And do you want the kids to come and visit? That's always the big surprise for a lot of folks, is people would say, oh, I'm going to go down to Florida. The kids will come and visit. Well, surprise, unless you're paying the freight for them to come down, they might have a week or two of a vacation a year. And as much as they might want to see you, that's not how they want to spend their free week. I know it hurts. I know it hurts. But they wouldn't mind meeting you in Disney World. But to hang out at your place so you can show them off to all of your friends and take them to your favorite restaurants, which may not be their favorite restaurants, might not be what they want to do. They like having grandma and grandpa around for a day or two, just like you like having your grandkids around for a day or two. It's interesting. We learn a lot, and I see more and more people who they say, we're moving down to Florida, and then after 10 or 15 years, you move down there, let's say at 65 or 70, but at 85 years old, you go, do I want to be down there? Do I want to die in Florida? Honestly, do I want to die in Florida? Do I want my kids to come down and spend months in hospice with me in Florida? Do I want my kids to transport? I know this is horrible. This is morbid stuff. Do I want my kids to be transporting my body back to Massachusetts? Am I going to think about, do I want to be buried in Florida? Do I want to be cremated in Florida? These are questions. These are financial advice in a language you can understand, real life questions, because all this stuff costs money. Because it's not about picking the right investment, folks. It's not about whether you have so much money in stocks or so much money in bonds. The financial stuff is the easiest part of this, despite what CNBC says, despite what Cramer might want to tell you, despite what anybody has to say about the markets. That's the easiest stuff once you have it lined up properly. You can almost set it and forget it. You got to look at it periodically, but periodically, not daily for sure. But it's the non-financial stuff. It's the non-financial items that will drive your life in retirement. And all of those non-financial issues involve your family and how your family will react to that and the implications of those decisions with your family. Maybe one of your children enjoys going out of Florida, or maybe one of your children is single and doesn't have kids and so they can come and go as they please, but others are strapped with kids and they can't. What does that look like? Do you care? Do you care? Do you say, well, you know, this is the life I wanted. If the kids don't like it, fine, that's their problem. Maybe not. I don't know. Everybody's got a different opinion. I'll close with this final thought. We once asked our clients, given the opportunity to spend everything you could in retirement and leave whatever's left over to the kids, would you do that? Or would you say, you know what? I'm willing to sacrifice my life in retirement a little bit so that I can make sure that my kids are well set up with an inheritance when I die. Which would you choose? Living retirement to its fullest and passing on whatever's left to the kids, or sacrificing life in retirement a little bit so that the kids could be certain that their life financially would be secure. I want you to think about that as we head out into this, into the show at the end of the show today, because I will tell you the answer is 50-50. What you may be thinking right now, ask your friends that question. You may find that you will have a totally different answer from them. You might not like the answer that they have, but we are different. We are different. The way we handle our money is different. The way we think about our children, the way we think about our financial future is different. That's why you need to meet with a financial planner, a certified financial planner who will ask the open and honest questions of you. That's going to do it for us today. If now's the time for you to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. But until then, I'll be back again next Sunday with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.